Welcome back to Logical with Ludmila, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Yamalova, a US qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insight that you can actually use. In today's episode, we will discuss Dubai's new and unprecedented one-of-its-kind law, the law that regulates contractors in the Emirate of Dubai. Now, it is law number 7 of 2025, so it's very new and fresh. And once again, it regulates the practice of contracting activities. Now, the law was issued in July, on July 8th of 2025, just a few, I guess, weeks ago. And it enters into force 6 months after publication or January 8th, 2026. This is important. So while the law itself has already been published, it is in the Official Gazette, and today we will talk about the text of the law itself. The law itself does not come into effect yet until 6 months after the publication, which is January 8th, 2026. Now, as you will soon hear, the law introduces a lot of new requirements and qualifications and procedures and authorities and so on and so forth. And obviously, because it is, as I mentioned earlier, is an unprecedented law, one of its kind, was not one before, that at least that I know or I can recall, which means that and the level of new requirements that is embodied in this law is quite substantial. What that means that it will require some time for the industry to come together and be able to actually put this law into practice. Therefore, in terms of the timeline of the law, there's another deadline, and that is 1 year after the publication, or after the law comes into effect, that the contractors and the whole contracting industry in the UAE, in Dubai, will have time to implement these new regulations. So once again, the law is introduced or in July 2025. It will come officially into effect in January 2026, and after that, it'll be another year for the contractors and the whole contracting industry to actually start complying with the law itself. So, as mentioned earlier, the law is truly unprecedented. There was never a law that was dedicated specifically to regulating contractors. When I'm talking about contractors, I'm talking about in terms of the construction industry, right? All those people that you hire whenever you need to do some modifications in your villa or in your apartment, if you want to get somebody to change your kitchen or your bathroom or to paint something. So these are the contractors we're talking about. So there was not a specific law before that regulated what required for a contractor to actually be a contractor or to have a contracting license, what requirements existed to begin with for somebody to call themselves a contractor, or what standards existed for the contractors to actually do their job. So this new law addresses a major gap in Dubai's legal framework and the lack of regulation, oversight, and therefore accountability in the contracting sector. For years, clients and contractors alike struggled with disputes, substandard work, and unqualified operators. Importantly, the law is quite far-reaching in terms of its application. It applies across all of Dubai, but remember, this is Dubai, not the UAE. Nevertheless, it still applies across all of Dubai, which includes special development zones and free zones such as the DIFC. This is perhaps one specific example because, generally speaking, the DIFC is subject to its own laws, and it has its own court and its own legal framework. But as far as this contracting law is concerned, it does seem to apply expressly, to the DIFC as well. So the only exceptions are the airport-related work and activities which are exempt by special laws. Now, what those laws are, that will be addressed in the future. So in short, this is a major legal milestone. But as with any new regulation, the real question is, how will it work in practice? So let's perhaps, before we delve into the law, discuss the sort of the case, a few case studies and the problems that exist today, in order to truly understand why this new law is so important and so transformative. So, I mean, at present, basically anyone can call themselves a contractor. For the time being, there are no specific real qualification requirements. There is no financial guarantees that are required or any minimum standards that are codified that the contractor is obligated to follow. That's one. Two, there's basically no accountability for staff. So, and that is the people the contractors hire. you know, what kind of skills are they supposed to have? Any skills at all? And what other legal requirements they may need to comply with? So for now, there are no binding rules on the competency of the people who actually show up on site. In practice, that's basically two. Number three is that there are no standards or proper benchmarks. So in practice, there are no enforceable quality standards. Many clients, especially those coming from those sort of certain Western countries, expect that if they hire someone to build or fit out or paint, there's an implicit baseline of quality. In reality, in Dubai, for the time being, there's no sort of baseline. It doesn't exist. So when a client tells the contractor to paint a villa, expecting straight lines, smooth finishes, and durable paint, but what in reality often happens, and this I tell you from our many, many experience on behalf of a number of our clients, what they often get is uneven coverage or visible brush strokes or and paint that's peeling within just a few months. Another example is a client hires a contractor to fit out a new office. But instead, they're expecting certain timelines, certain quality of standards. And in fact, what happens instead is the job runs months late and the wiring is substandard, the AC system fails, or the client ends up bearing the liability for missed move-in dates and costs. Another common problem is a chronic delays, and I cannot tell you the number of cases we have had over the years regarding this specific issue. So almost all projects today for minor renovations to full build-ups run late. This means extended rent obligations, delayed business operations, and or personal inconveniences, and all borne by the client. And we've had cases just in the last year of so many families who hire a contractor, they move out into a different villa, rent that villa temporarily while their villa is being worked on. So here they are carrying two types of expenses and also obviously additional contracting expenses for having the contract work being performed. And so they expect when they rent the temporary accommodation for 6 months, they expect for the works to be done in 6 months. Fast forward 9 months, the works are still not done. So now they're not only carrying potentially the mortgage for their main house and continue to pay the contractors, but also they now need to extend their temporary accommodation, and in many cases that also inconveniences the entire family because that accommodation could be sort of far away from the school, for example, and a number of other conveniences that the family sort of has grown accustomed to and accounted for within the specific time frame. So these are just some examples that we have recently witnessed in particular, and unfortunately there hasn't been really an effective mechanism for those kinds of families to seek redress, except ultimately not pay the last payment, for example, last installment. But that is also not always the right way of dealing with a dispute, nor is it adequate to compensate them for the added costs and inconveniences. Another example is shoddy workmanship. And that's even when completed works are often below expectations. Contractors use cheap materials, poor finishes, and generally sort of tend to follow fairly unsafe practices. And once again, clients have very little recourse at all because there are no standards. There are no standards that are codified by which the clients can say, well, this kind of finish was supposed to be of a certain standard because there's a book or rule book of standards and your standards don't match those standards. There isn't such a book. So therefore, unless it's specifically documented in the agreement, and I'll tell you from experience, I have yet to see a single agreement that would be that sort of detailed, then perhaps it also makes sense. I mean, to what level of detail would you be including in the agreement the type of paint, the type of polish, the type of contractors that would work on painting or how the trims along the floor bed should be covered and not splashed or splattered with new paint and so on and so forth. So there's so many different nuances. And because unless these kinds of levels of details are included in the contract, there's no other way to hold contractors accountable to those standards. There are often disputes that relate to this very issue of just shoddy workmanship. Also, there's no real enforcement in terms of licensing and categorization, the oversight. There's no effective way to hold contractors accountable because there's no sort of bar, if you will. There's no association that licenses contractors. And therefore, disputes often end in stalemates with clients frustrated and out of pocket, because how do you tell a contractor you are not a good contractor? Because says whom? So it could be, unless we have a standard, it becomes very subjective and therefore leads to so many disputes. So this is the landscape that the new law is designed to change. And by introducing now specific licensing and classification and accountability requirements, Dubai aims to filter out unqualified operators and create standards that clients can actually rely on. And so for clients, the new law could be transformative. Once again, it will sort of filter out these unlicensed and unqualified contractors. It will curb the practice of subcontracting work endlessly without accountability. It creates the possibility of a dedicated authority to hear contractor-client disputes. And the last point is quite perhaps one of the most important ones, because if disputes can be resolved before an administrative authority, like we've seen, for example, with the Rental Dispute Center or the Insurance Authority or the Consumer Protection Authority, then even relatively small claims such as 70,000 dirham claims could be potentially pursued efficiently, much more efficiently. And on that note, let me just kind of pause for a second, because at present, if there is a conflict and there's a lot of these contracting disputes do relate to sort of smaller amounts like that, 70,000, 30,000, 50,000. And because there's no specific body other than the courts to address this, most clients kind of end up ultimately bickering with the contractors and then just sort of throwing in the towel and forgetting about it. Now, the law mentions introduction of number of authorities and kind of overseeing bodies, but because it's such a new law, and as I mentioned earlier, it will take a year for it to actually come into effect, we don't know exactly what this potential body for resolving disputes will be. So we're assuming, on the basis of other existing authorities in other industries and other sectors, such as RDC, for example, the Rent Dispute Center, or the Consumer Protection, or the Insurance Authority, that something similar perhaps would exist within the contracting industry. So as I go through the law and I talk more about the specific requirements and qualifications that are being introduced, it's important to keep in mind that this is kind of a general legal framework, but the nuts and bolts of how it will actually work in practice will remain to be seen, and the time will over time we will see what this new authority will be and what its mandate and powers will be. And so for now, some of these specifics are perhaps lacking in details, and as they become more evolved and developed, we'll certainly update further. Okay, so now in terms of the scope of the law, it is very broad. So it covers virtually all contractor activities in Dubai, including civil, architectural, electrical, mechanical, and industrial works. It also includes infrastructure such as roads, bridges, tunnels, and railways, utilities like sewage, water, and cooling networks, and also environmental, agricultural, and coastal works. So you see, quite expensive. And the contractor for the purposes of this law is defined as any company or sole proprietorship registered in the new registry, and there will be a registry, we'll talk about it, and licensed to perform contracting activities. So anybody who is not in this registry will not be qualified as a contractor for the purposes of Dubai's new contracting industry. So in other words, if you want to call yourself a contractor in Dubai, you will now need to have both a commercial license and a professional registration. So let me kind of give you perhaps an analogy is that for us lawyers, so we are legal consultants. For us, you know, just we have the license, the commercial license to do to run as a business. But in order to practice law, we also have a secondary approval, which is from in Dubai, we have from the Rulers Affairs, Dubai Rulers Affairs Department, or Legal Affairs Department, or called Rulers Court. So it's a Legal Affairs Department or Rulers Court. And so all lawyers, legal consultants, and advocates are being first of all subject to the approval of the Legal Affairs Department. But also, but prior to approving us, we obviously need to show certain qualifications and certain certain competency and certain educational background in order to be registered. And then ultimately, we remain remain subject to the regulatory oversight of the Rulers Court of the Legal Affairs Department. So so what we are anticipating in the contracting industry is something analogous. So now, in order to, in addition to having a commercial license or a business license, and that is basically, you know, license where kind of a legal entity to operate from, these contractors will now also need to be qualified by one of a similar board or a committee. And they will only be qualified if they meet certain qualification requirements, certain education requirements, certification, so on and so forth. And then ultimately, they will also remain subject to the oversight of that regulatory body. That's basically kind of the analogous example I can offer on the basis of our own experience as the legal industry in Dubai. So this is going to be very similar, very exciting. Okay, so now kind of at a high level, so what's the kind of the purpose of the law? And the law is fairly robust and quite detailed. So the as per the law's own kind of language, if you will, so it has a very specific objective. And they're very ambitious. So one is just to promote the contracting sector for obvious reasons. Two is to regulate practice to international standards. That's very, I think it's very welcoming. And then establish a clear classification system for contractors. And I think that in itself is perhaps one of the most exciting part of this law is just to is to imagine what this classification system will be. You know, how it will be applied and how what effect or influence or impact it will have on the Dubai real estate and construction industry in general and legal therefore as well. And then it will also, it's supposed to also encourage investment and ensure that projects meet Dubai's construction and urban planning standards. So in other words, this is about raising the bar for the entire industry. You know, before we delve into this, the details, so here's just a, kind of a recap of the timing of when this law is supposed to is to kick in. It was issued July 8th of 2025, 6 months after the publication, which is January 8th, 2025. It will come officially into effect. And then a year from that, which is January 2027, is when, by which date, the contracting industry in Dubai will have evolved completely and transformed and will be a sort of a brand new beast. Okay, so now let's talk about sort of the specifics of the law. And the law is, as I mentioned earlier, is quite detailed. So there are certain prohibitions, and then and let's start with those because I think they are most interesting in terms of just the context from, you know, from which we come, especially in the legal industry, you know, on the basis of our clients' many grievances and concerns and complaints dealing with the contractors. So the law kind of sets out, okay, what is not allowed, what will not be allowed under the new law. So one is no one can undertake contracting without a license or registration. So just because I know how to paint or how to change some electrical appliances, I will not be able, not that I know, but hypothetically if I did, unless I have a proper license and proper registration to do so, I will not be able to do that kind of work. Furthermore, contractors cannot take on projects outside of their classification. So what this would mean, for example, is that if some contractor is registered as an electrician or a painter, then they will not be able to do, just because they're registered in the contracting database does not mean that they'll be able to provide other kind of contracting services. So they will have to work within the qualifications and classification which are registered to their license. Another prohibition is contractors will not be able to delegate work to unqualified staff. And that in itself, I think, is quite exciting and transformative, because as we, many of us have seen, a lot of the contractors bring their staff to kind of help out on site. And there's big questions about whether the supporting staff actually knows what they're doing and what their background is or who they are to begin with. But sort of the practice has developed such that nobody really questions it. So that will not be allowed. And by the way, this is quite interesting, sort of a spin of the law, is that no entity can contract with an unlicensed contractor. What does that mean? That means that the public, us people, mortals, be it individuals or companies, by virtue of this law, will not be allowed to contract with anybody that is not properly registered and licensed and qualified as per this new law, which means that, let's say, if I want to do some fit outs in my house, and I know a friend who says that he can offer these kinds of services, I'm actually myself in breach of the law if I'm hiring this person or this person's company or team if they're not registered and classified as the right kind of contractors in this public registry. So in other words, the burden is also placed on the society, I guess, on the individuals and the companies, the people themselves who are hiring these unlicensed contractors. Now, what does it mean in real life? So, I mean, who is going to come after me? It's more about, I mean, there could be some penalties and fines on the likes of those who hire unlicensed contractors. But more importantly, if anything goes wrong, you will not ever be able to really sort of legally enforce your rights against anybody who's unlicensed, because, you know, you should not have been doing business with somebody who's unlicensed, because by law, you're not allowed to do so. So that's kind of another legal element to it. The other big section of the law is about subcontracting, and I think that is very, very, kind of novel and will truly be transformative, I'm sure, and many will attest to it who've dealt with contractors in the past, is the issue of subcontracting. So contractors, as per the new law, contractors will have to perform the work that they have been hired to do. So they will not be able to subcontract unless. So, and the subcontracting will only be permitted if it is, first of all, not prohibited in the main contract. And, you know, that's obviously the burden or the challenge for the parties themselves and the legal advisors whom they hire to draft these contracts, is that if you want that specific contractor to do the work for you, make sure to include that in the contract, that you want that main contractor to be responsible and no subcontractors are allowed. Also, if the work does not legally require the main contractor to perform it, then you could potentially bring in a subcontractor, but only in those cases where the scope of work is not detailed enough and not specific enough to require for the main contractor to do the work. Also, the subcontracting will be permitted if the subcontractor is licensed for that activity. So, in other words, just because you have a licensed main contractor does not mean that, and your contract does not necessarily ban or prohibit the use of subcontractors, does not mean that you can bring in anybody to be a subcontractor. Subcontractor still has to be properly licensed. And also the scope and obviously for in terms of bringing subcontractors, in addition to being properly licensed and for it not to be against the agreement, then their work of the subcontractor, the role as a subcontractor, has to be very clearly defined, and the authority, the sort of relevant authority, has to be notified. So now in terms of contractual obligations as per the law, so the contractors will not have the ability to undertake projects beyond their financial or technical capacity. I think that's quite new as well. I mean, I guess all of it is new, but this is very pointed. And that is that the contractors will have to be bound by certain financial and technical requirements. And so therefore, if they're want to do work that's sort of beyond those requirements, they will not be allowed. So this is in addition to professional qualifications and legal qualifications in terms of proper licenses, there will also be financial qualification and technical. Also, the contractors will have to employ qualified technical staff proportional to the project size. What this is, and basically that means, kind of goes back to the subcontracting issues that I'm sure many have seen. A big contractor or a small contracting company takes on multiple villas to sort of under the umbrella to contract for and to do the works. But for them to take that kind of work, they need to ensure that their staff is proportional to the scope of work. So if it's a small contracting firm, I have five employees, they will not be able to take on that project if it requires for, you know, those multiple villas will require a team of 15 or 20. So also in legal terms, the contractors will have to prove that they have the necessary staff to be able to perform that specific job. And this is also really, really exciting, is that the contract is also, in addition to having to comply with all the contracts and consultant instructions and laws and not misuse any license or advertise without registration, they will also need to make sure that all of their staff, all of their team, actually have valid residency and labor permits. Boom. I think this is really big, because I'm sure many can attest that often on a lot of these construction sites, yes, you know who the main contractor is, you know who the person is to the main contractor, the person that is, that sort of manages it. But then all these other people that come every day, come and go out of your property, you have very little understanding who they are, whether they actually work for that company, under what kind of visas or contracts they work, if at all. And then, you know, more importantly, I mean, are they even properly, from an immigration standpoint, do they even have a visa to work in the UAE? And is it the right kind of visa? And is it the right labor permit? So, for example, this means that effectively for this law to apply, as per the letter of the law, is that for a contractor, if they want to hire people to help out, they will have to be licensed by that company. They will have to be under their residence visas and with the right labor permit. So, for example, if the right labor permit, I mean, let's say there's somebody whose job description in the contract is an assistant or a receptionist or a cleaning person. So they will not effectively be allowed to work off-site. So in other words, not only must they have the right labor permit or valid residency or the right residence, they also have the right labor permit, which matches the responsibilities that they will actually be performing off-site. And then the final sort of contractual obligation is that the contractors will not have to keep records for 10 years. So again, nothing ever existed like this before. 10 years is important because the statute of limitation for contract defects or for construction defects is 10 years. So it sort of makes sense. And that means, let's say somebody, a contractor, performs certain kind of works and built something, and then 7 years into it, something happens from the perspective of the construction defects. Well, in that case, the contractors will not have an excuse that they didn't have the documents. So they have no documents because, you know, let's say that particular project took place 7 years ago. So by law, they need to keep records for at least 10 years, which matches the statute of limitation for construction defects. So therefore, contractors should not have an excuse that they don't have documents from that project because of this new legal requirement. So now that's basically kind of the prohibitions and certain sort of obligations. Now, but there will be the next part of the law addresses the sort of registration and licensing. And it introduces a central registry and similar kind of to Dubai's Invest Dubai system, but just for contractors. So to register, a contractor will have to hold a valid commercial license that I mentioned. That's your basically your legal entity, your legal license, and not be prohibited from practice, i.e. must not have any kind of bans either to work or some kind of criminal bans, or you know, have some sort of professional issues and bans from before. Also, the contractor must have the necessary qualifications and staff, and pay the prescribed fees. So that's to be basically registered in this central registry. And the registration will last 1 year, and it must be renewed every year. Certain licenses will be subject to revocation, and that's obviously if the requirements are no longer met, or if there's false information that's provided. And so this is, once again, very similar to the legal industry. So all lawyers in Dubai right now, legal consultants and advocates alike, so basically they have annual license that, first of all, they're all sort of, you know, in can be found or registered in the Legal Affairs Department database, so public registry you can check. And then, and their registration is good for 1 year. And that registration has to be renewed every year. And as part of the registration, for example, for legal consultants is to also take continuing legal education. So I assume for the contractors, it will be very similar system. There will be this public registry as specifically as mandated by the law, and they will have to be renewed every year. And presumably there will be some sort of qualification or some kind of refresher courses or some kind of requirements, at least eventually will be introduced in order for the contractors to maintain that license, which also means that, let's say if somebody, even if the requirements for continuing kind of education requirements will not be introduced right away, so it, just because a contractor was accepted or admitted into this public registry 1 year does not mean that they will continue to be renewed every year. If, for example, they have some complaints from the customers, from their employers, in terms of their ability to deliver. So that also, so their qualifications and their professional reputation will be reexamined every year prior to the renewal. So now the law also sets out specific kind of regulatory bodies. This is for the construction industry. So it splits oversight across several authorities. So there will be the Executive Committee of Dubai, which will set up fees, fines, and exemptions for fees or fines. So this is called the Executive Committee of Dubai for contractors. Then there'll be also, there is the Dubai Municipality, but so Dubai Municipality will also be one of the authorities that kind of falls under the regulatory body over the oversight of contractors. And the Dubai Municipality will manage the registry, develop the classification system, and issue competency certificates. So in other words, this public registry that we mentioned earlier will most likely be under the umbrella of Dubai Municipality, and there will be a Dubai Municipality that will naturally introduce and develop this classification system and will kind of keep track of it and therefore issue certificates to the specific contractors prior to registration. And then there'll be a licensing authority that handles commercial licenses. So I'm not sure this could be, it could be a specific economic authority that does it, or there'll be multiple. For example, it could be certain free zones that also offer similar commercial licenses. It could be just one specific under DET, for example, Dubai Economy and Tourism, which is the former DED economic authority. So, but that is another regulatory, like another body that sort of forms the regulatory framework in terms of authorities and committees overseeing the construction industry. Then there will be the regulatory committee, which supervises implementation, resolves disputes between authorities, and approves codes of conduct. Now, so this is the regular committee, perhaps is more in terms of dealing with other authorities, not so much, at least it appears for now, for the time being, is not so much the disputes between the public and the contractors, but rather working with the other authorities like municipality, maybe land department, maybe the DIFC, and to RTA to make sure that all of the standards and qualifications kind of are coherent and cohesive at the Emirate level. And then there will be the concerned authorities. There's also sort of a phrase that's mentioned in the law. And that includes kind of government entities overseeing specific contracting activities, and which will be empowered to monitor license, investigate, and penalize. So these are the kind of the authorities that are mentioned in the law. Some of the authorities already exist. Others will be brand new, and yet others may have to kind of go through some sort of evolution in order to then become kind of the formal regulatory oversight body over the construction industry. So how does the new law change things? The contrast with the Dubai law number, so that's it's the Dubai law number 7, 2025. That's the new law that we're talking about. And it aims to achieve a number of things. And I've sort of mentioned them to an extent earlier. But so if you were to categorize, what's the scope of the law? So one is licensing and registration. So contractors can no longer just hang up a sign and call themselves contractors. They will have to be licensed and registered in the official registry. Also, it's a classification and capacity requirement. So the contractors will be classified by their financial and technical capacity, and they cannot take on projects beyond that category. There is also the law aims to achieve this, to make sure that only qualified staff is involved, and that is so technical staff must hold a professional competency certificate issued by Dubai Municipality. No more hiring of unqualified workers for complex jobs. There'll be subcontracting oversight, so endless layers of subcontracting will be curbed. Only licensed subcontractors can be engaged, and the scope must be very clear. Then there's the accountability and oversight, which authorities will have the power to inspect, penalize, suspend, or downgrade contractors, and fines can go up to 200,000 dirhams per repeated violation. And then finally, there's a dispute resolution provision, which is yet to be kind of formed in more detail, but there will be like a regulatory committee. They may eventually sort of streamline disputes, similar to the rental dispute center, which means that smaller claims, such as 30,000, 40,000 dirham claims, will now potentially be subject to the jurisdiction of this specific dispute resolution committee, and therefore will be a lot more efficiently and effectively resolved. So the key point is the law does not just add red tape. It actually introduces standards, oversight, and recourse. So where clients once had no reliable way to hold contractors accountable, they'll now have a system designed to protect them. So in conclusion, Dubai's new contractors law is ambitious, and it establishes licensing, registration, categorization, oversight, and accountability. If implemented effectively, it could transform the contracting industry, eliminating unqualified operators and raising standards. But much depends on how it is enforced and whether the new regulatory bodies will streamline disputes rather than complicate them. For now, one thing is certain, contractors in Dubai will no longer be able to operate in the shadows. That's all for this episode of Logical with Ludmila. If you found this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website. It is lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.